You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill. You're listening to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. Joined today by the golden boy, the internet sweetheart. You know him. You love him. He's 365 days of horror, or as I like to call him, Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
I'm good. We have a time change and everything's all weird and wobbly for like the next two or three days.
Yeah, somebody woke up late as fuck today because he forgot that time change was happening.
But you didn't wake up late. You woke up late as determined by some invisible force that said, "Yeah, it's an hour later now."
Yeah. I feel like this is maybe too much to ask that my phone that constantly lets me know when there's a missing child 400 miles away from me could let me know, hey, buddy, the time's going to change tonight. So, you know, plan accordingly.
But there may be a flood in your area at some point this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have the processing power to do that. I've got to let you know about these 15 scam calls that are clearly marked scam, but I can't stop them from coming.
But your mortgage may need to be refinanced, or you may need to do a car payment.
I worry that my boner is not big enough. So, you know, these pills can help.
For a while, I was getting calls about like student loans, and like mine have been paid off for a long time. But there was a couple years ago where, like, you know, these loans get passed around to like different places.
Oh yeah.
And a legitimate one like got in touch with me. It's like, oh, you only have a small amount left. I'm like, yeah, fine, I'll pay it right away. But the phone calls I was getting that were scams were like very conversational.
Huh.
Like it wasn't a recorded thing, or it wasn't like, you know, this is Detective Smith with the FBI. It was like, hi, this is Mary with, you know, whatever, student loan. Do you have a bit of an outstanding balance? Please give me a call back when you have a chance. Like it was very like normal sounding. And I contacted like whatever, not the number they gave me, but bigger student loan places.
Like, yeah. Do not ever. We don't have anything legitimate to talk about with you ever. Trust us. Now, I used to get calls all the time from, you know, Indian fellas trying to tell me that my PC was infected.
Yep.
And I like to play because I have never had a PC. So I like to play along with it. I'm like, can you tell me about this specific virus and like what is it? What is being sent to the FBI? Give me more info, please.
You're driving to the local police station.
Well, these guys just get more and more frustrated. If you keep pressing them on questions, eventually they'll start cursing at you.
Well, that's why you got to have you could look up on your phone curses in different language so you can give it back to them.
Yeah, there we go. I keep seeing ads for some AI Google phone thing that helps you, you know, translate, you know, from English to whatever language via the power of AI. And I could see how that would be useful. The commercial itself, though, shows a single white guy in, believe it is Indonesia, which makes me feel.
Oh, no.
I mentioned that to my wife. She's like, every time I see this ad now, I'm just like, this man is a pedophile.
And they're going for a specific type of person.
Yeah. With Google AI, you can better do sex tourism in other countries. That's the Google AI promise. I'm really glad that our conversations get automatically AI transformed into captions now so that can be put out in the ether. Thank you, Google AI. A lot of things going on this week. Nothing major, of course, but a few things that I figure we ought to talk about. I will leave this up to you, Jordan. Is there anything that's just burning a hole in you that you got to get out first on this show?
There's the tour news of the year was announced just a couple days ago.
Boy, was it.
It is all of our favorite guys, with the exception of one or two who could be added to this tour.
It might happen, yeah.
We are getting a U.S. tour in the summer, an amphitheater tour, I want to point out.
Yes.
Featuring Five Finger Death Punch.
Mm-hmm.
Marilyn Manson.
Wow.
And Slaughter to Prevail.
All right. Boy, that is all the heavy hitters in one go. Now,
all it needs is Falling in Reverse, and this is the Toilet of Hell tour.
That is so true. Interesting here. Now, I saw a lot of reactions here, and I'm like, people online, like, wow, Five Finger Death Punch and Marilyn Manson, like, what a combo of real shitheads. And then I got to be delighted as people reply, well, let me tell you about Slaughter to Prevail.
Yeah, that's when Five Finger Death Punch is like the least offensive band.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's be clear. Zoltán Báthory is for sure a Hungarian CIA asset. We've covered that in the past. He is a bad dude, and the band itself sucks. But as far as I know, they're not covered in any outright Nazi symbols the way that Alex Terrible of Slaughter to Veil is. So there we go.
And I'm not aware of any, I mean, there might be, but aware of any sexual assault charges against members of Five Finger Death Punch, at least not current members.
Not sexual assault, just plain assault,
Right.
for Mr. Moody, I believe. So yeah, pretty good stuff. I was kind of surprised to see Marilyn Manson on this bill, not because of, it doesn't fit. It absolutely fits. More because I thought he was dying of heart failure at this time. So I'm surprised, and not at all delighted to see that he's still kicking.
These people live forever. You know that.
I know. Trying to imagine Marilyn Manson getting on the donor list and them asking, like, well, are you considering maybe stopping drinking or doing drugs? And I'm like, no.
Just throwing up on someone's shoes.
Yep.
Now they're gonna wheel him out in an iron lung as he, the breathing machine, serves as the bead for Dope Show.
Yep.
It makes sense for Marilyn Manson to be on a tour like this to like not headline.
Yeah.
Because Five Finger Death Punch gives him cover.
Oh, absolutely.
They are the headliners. They're most people want to see them, so there's going to be a crowd. Marilyn Manson will have a shorter set, maybe a smaller stage show of some sort. If people are Five Finger Death Punch fans at this point, they probably have no problem with whatever Marilyn Manson has done or been accused of
Sure.
over the past couple of years, or they don't even know about it. They just remember the beautiful people, and they'll, mosh and hyperextend their knees on their lawn seats while listening to it, and that'll be that. And maybe they won't even care that he's stumbling around on stage and can only do four songs because they're there to see Five Finger Death Punch anyway.
That's probably true. I have not really kept up, but the last check I saw, there's like dozens of different lawsuits that Marilyn Manson is involved in right now.
Some get settled, some get appealed, some get expanded. It's an ongoing merry-go-round of things.
Yeah, seems like things may or may not be catching up to him after a lifetime of being a real fucking piece of shit. Is his buddy maybe Johnny Depp gonna come hang out with him, or are they maybe keeping it separate for right now while they settle their respective issues?
I doubt it. You can't keep these people away. I'm also curious too. I hope there's some secret recordings or hot mic meetings between Alex Terrible and Zoltán Báthory.
Oh man, I would love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation. Just the dialogue back and forth about their opinions on the Romani people was just, I'm sure to die for.
We have much to discuss.
So again, every time we have to bring this up, we got to give big ups to Ash from Sumerian Records for helping settle all of these pesky issues with Alex Terrible having difficulties touring the United States
In Europe.
and Europe. This would not be happening without all the big heavy lifting from Ash from Sumerian. Ash from Sumerian, thank you so much.
And Jamie
You
Josta.
and Jamie Jossa, you've helped give this young man another chance for recidivism. What's I did see this, by the way, this week. We talked about this probably 4 years ago, that Jamie Josta, his solo album and Josta for All, is finally going to be coming out this year.
It's his Chinese democracy.
Yes. So Hopefully, he can partner up again with the boys and Slaughter to Prevail to help get some additional press for that.
I mean, with the solo things, for a vocalist who has a very distinctive voice, I always kind of think of like, what's the point?
What is the point?
Because like
Good question.
even a year or two ago, Corpse Grinder for Cannibal Corpse put out a solo album, and you know exactly what you're getting, and if you like it, that's cool, but you might as well just wait 6 months and there's gonna be a Cannibal Corpse album.
Didn't he do a track with was it Igor on that one?
Yes.
I think
Well,
it
he
was.
did. It wasn't on his solo album. It was on like
Okay.
their album.
Gotcha. Okay.
But like, yeah, when it's their own, they're so distinctive. Like, unless it's a new band, like Merciful Fate and then King Diamond, it's kind of like a placeholder or
Yeah.
here's some music. It's you're not going to really get anything new other than guest people jumping in.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because what I was listening to earlier this morning was the debut single from Burton C. Bell, his new solo act.
Anti-droid, I think it's
Yeah.
called.
Did you listen to it as well?
It's not
What?
good.
No, it's not good at all. When you think about the essential members of Fear Factory, Burton C. Bell isn't in the
I
three.
mean, it really is laid bare, like, who was the main driving force for Fear Factory?
Yeah. So, but that's one of those things, like, I know that this guy is, isn't really needed, so I have to listen to this. I have to know.
Your morbid curiosity got the best of you.
Absolutely. This is less song-like than I would have expected. The vocals don't come until about a minute in this one. It's just dark, industrial beats on this one. In a very modern kind of sound, at least more than I was expecting for, a guy who's almost 60.
Yeah, it's smooth, but like trying to recreate 90s industrial.
Yeah, it's very very off-putting, man, to be fair
Did you
with
watch
you.
the video?
I did. Yeah. That is an old man that is like, "Look at my metal fingers."
Look at my fingies.
Do you want to see a guy surprised that he has metal fingers for 3.5 minutes? Can't recommend this video enough.
Just in some grimy, greenish looking old hospital room going, eh, my fingies.
I think a better title for Anti-Droid would be My Metal Thingies. I think let's write him a letter. See if we can't get him to fix this one.
Make it the album title.
Yeah, man. I don't know. It's pretty dull, but again, I had to check it out, had to know. If you want to hear latter era Gary Numan worship, but without any of the talent or charisma, this is for you, I think.
Or charm.
Yeah, that too.
And it does make new Fear Factory with their new vocalist sound better.
Yeah, unfortunately, gotta say, old Dino got the best of him once again. Don't count old Dino out.
It always comes out on top for Dino.
So yeah, the this fucking Five Finger Death Punch tour, man, they are going to be all over everywhere this summer from August to September. And I know that we talked about this last summer when it was unbearably fucking hot and people were like melting, gear was being destroyed in extreme heat. My prediction here is this is going to be a disaster. I think that people are going to have to stop doing summer tours and soon.
Well, it's kind of like European bands, at least a fair amount of them, will tour the US in the winter because they're playing festivals over in Europe. You can kind of do the same thing, play cooler areas of the country in the summer, and then as it turns to fall and winter, you move more towards the south and southwest and west
Yep.
coast.
So, for example, there's shows in early September going from Atlanta to Biloxi to Austin to Houston. That's going to be a pit of misery for all involved.
Sounds very sweaty.
Oh, yeah. Stinky, too.
And do we know, does Slaughter to Prevail play with their stupid devilly gold masks on the
Yes,
entire time?
they do.
Oh, hell yeah. We're going to get so many kidney stones and heat strokes. And
Alex Terrible, acute kidney injury coming this summer. Should be good.
what there is for pussies.
So yeah, tickets available, I'm sure, at a Groupon discount very, very soon. So
Yeah.
keep an eye
Again,
out.
these are amphitheater shows. I don't really know if Marilyn Manson can bring that many people. A Slayer to Prevail definitely can. I'm curious as to what a Five Finger Death Punch fan will think of Slayer to Prevail. Possibly too heavy for them. So it should be an interesting summer.
We will, of course, stay up to date with this. I think that we should send a correspondent to follow this tour and give us nightly reports on it.
Remember when MTV used to do that? They'd have whatever their man on the street or woman on the street interviewers like, we're here at Ozfest 1997. They're just interviewing screaming teenagers.
Yeah, we need that. We gotta have that guy. So, well worth it. I'm sure the discounted price for admission. We'll all have a good time, I promise you that. Speaking of big metal bands, I saw this headline the other day on Blabbermouth, and I wanted to share it with you. Metallica, right? Strong start. Teams up with Carhartt for International Women's Day to bridge skilled trades gap. Now, does any of that follow a logical sequence for you?
So is Metallica working with the clothing company to support women workers?
That's what it seems to say here. Now, I know that Metallica has fans of all genders, right? So I don't know if it necessarily makes sense that like Metallica is the band that speaks to women specifically. And I don't know that it makes sense for Carhartt to be involved in this in any way at all. What do you make of this brand collaboration?
So are they making clothes with like Metallica's name on it?
No, they're not. It says, in recognition of International Women's Day, Carhartt is donating proceeds from women's apparel sales up to $250,000 on Carhartt.com. Or any of its retail locations on March 8th, and dedicating its spring 2024 grant to support Metallica's foundation, All Within My Hands Metallica Scholars Initiative.
Oh, I see. It's a tax thing.
Yes, that's correct. So we are trading money both ways so that we can take a nice little break on our taxes this year. How does that sound to you?
That sounds about right. Yeah, we are giving you money. You are giving us money. We're also giving other people money, and it costs us nothing, or we make a profit on it.
It says here, created by the members and management of Metallica, All Within My Hands is a philanthropic organization dedicated to creating sustainable communities by connecting future workers with trade programs in their communities. Does that not sound like bullshit to you?
They could just give the money to trade programs or high schools that encourage their students to get into the trades.
Yeah. You could give the many HVAC workers of the world a fucking break on your expensive ass merch. Just saying, there are lots of ways to do this. I wanted to highlight a Blabbermouth comment that I found enjoyable here from Alexandros Aslandis. So, rare occasion where we would support the Greek people. So nice of Metallica to support women. By the way, when is your next Saudi Arabia gig? Good stuff there. We need to get in on this charity racket, Jordan.
Just work with metal injection and trade money back and forth and say we're giving it to the US Foundation.
I think they'd be amenable to it. Whoever is running Metal Injection and Metal Sucks now, at least their social media people seem to like us a lot. Of
And we appreciate their support.
course, thanks for the support as always, guys. Here is another headline that I would like to share with you here. As you know, Jordan, KISS has finally played their last show forever, right?
Wink, wink, wink.
So what we have here, it says, Gene Simmons on Kiss Avatars. What I've seen will blow your mind. Kiss is saying right now that they've played their last live show, which none of us believe, even for one second. But they've said that they are going to start doing these AI holographic shows in their stead, which I'm sure that people will definitely pay good money to see, right?
Sure.
It says here the technology being used for these Kiss avatars, originally developed for ABBA's Voyage show in London, will allow Kiss to stay on the road in retirement. The Kiss avatars were created by Industrial Light and Magic and were financed and produced by the Swedish company Pop House Entertainment, who is also behind ABBA's Voyage. Simmons addressed the Kiss avatars in a new interview. Regarding what the Avatar show will look like, he said, "Look, part of the fun is Christmas when you open your present. You're shocked and surprised and hopefully delighted. So why would I tell you in February what you're going to get for Christmas? There's so much hard work being done behind the scenes, and what I've seen will blow your mind. In a very real way, our end is really like the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. The end is the beginning." He also said that about $200 million is being invested into the Kiss Avatar show. Do you believe that? Because I don't think I believe that. Do
I
you?
hope not.
What an absurd waste of resources.
That's too much money for something that will probably last 6 months and have quickly diminishing returns.
Yeah, these robots just start fucking freaking out and killing the audience when people keep asking them to play "I Was Meant for Loving You."
Crush, kill, destroy.
So I think it's kind of a dark idea imagining the kind of person that's excited about going to see a holographic Kiss show. Can you picture this guy in your head?
Old, sad,
Yeah.
possibly already owns a Kiss coffin. The thing is, though, for any band to do this that would have any hope of success, Kiss is the one.
I know, right? That's what pisses me off so much. Here's
Like,
the thing.
no other band will really ever be able to do this and like have it work. They tried to do the hologram thing with Dio and did like one tour, and even they were like, yeah, okay, we're not gonna do this again.
But the thing is, like, one day, and it won't be too long from now, the last Boomer Kiss fan will be dead. Then what are you gonna do?
Then someone on TikTok is gonna put on some Gene Simmons face paint, and they're going to do a little dance to lick it up, and there's going to be a whole new generation of assholes.
Well, hopefully that their President Biden bans the TikTok.
It's going to be a Chinese psyop to get a new generation of kids into KISS.
Fucked up, very fucked up. I bring that up here because I was thinking about Kiss and you remember when they did the they each released their own solo album?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big success, I think. I don't
Yeah,
know if
everyone
you
loves the Peter Criss album.
it was absolutely. I got to thinking about this. I don't know if you saw the news that there are going to be four different biopics coming out in the next few years, for each member of the Beatles. Did you see that?
I did.
What do you think about that?
I don't want to see any of them. I mean, if anything, I'd probably want to see George Harrison's the most,
I think
just
he's
because
the
he
only
seemed
one that I
to.
have like a fond feeling for.
Right. He's the only one who seems to have been like genuinely into the Eastern religion thing that they got into and just be like a quiet, nice man.
Plus, he did "I Got My Mind Set on You," and that song whips ass.
I got my mind
Set
set
on
on
you.
you. And the video's great for it.
Oh, that video is insanely good. Really great stuff.
Everyone go watch that video now.
Yeah, so fuck this podcast.
But yeah, it's and at this point, Do we really need a John Lennon story? No. Do we need
I want an insanely gritty John Lennon story where it just shows him
like
what a horrific, abusive piece of shit he was.
well, I was thinking gritty like a John Wick, but it's John Lennon.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know why. I do know why this is happening because people think that they can make money on it. I mean, that awful Imagine movie, what was it fucking called? The guy that like fucking movie where everybody forgets the Beatles songs except for one asshole and he has to fucking punish everybody for it.
It sounds like a high school Tumblr post.
It's really stupid. Also, one legitimately, I know that I say this a lot, but legitimately one of the worst movies I've ever fucking seen in my life across the universe. Absolutely fucking miserable movie. That was in the early 2000s, I think.
Seems like recently there's been 70s, 80s musician biopics that have been coming out, and most of them have not been good
Have
or
you
have.
seen any of the trailers for the fucking Bob Marley fucking biopic?
I've gotten a commercial on Spotify, and that's about it.
Oh man, it looks rotten, absolutely rancid. Like some American guy's like, I be the Bob Marley man. It's like, fuck, Jesus Christ, what are we doing?
There's that, was it Laz Berman or
Oh,
whatever,
Baz
Elvis
Luhrmann's.
movie,
Yeah.
where the actor like couldn't get rid of his Elvis accent.
It's very, very funny. That miserable looking Queen biography. Another one of those little tidbits just with the Bob Marley thing. First time I saw a trailer for that, I'm like, I wonder if it's going to cover how he died and like me explaining how he died to my wife. She's like, that can't be real. The story behind that? Anyway, it made me think though, like there are so many. We're doing these obvious these things for big audiences, the Beatles, and the Beatles and the Beatles and the Beatles, and Queen, Bob Marley, et cetera. But there are so many musician biopics that like I wish existed that just it's never gonna happen. First of all, like the Gigi Allen story is one that I think would be compelling to the nth degree.
Which is why it's never going to happen.
Never, absolutely never. I mean, it's insane that the guy that made fucking Old School did the best archival source of information on Gigi Allen with Hated, the documentary.
Yeah, there are plenty of musicians across all types of genres where there are interesting and compelling stories that could be told. Studios think people will not go see it, so instead they pump out four Beatles movies. They're like, no
Exactly.
one knows who Peter Tosh is. We could never do a story about him.
Oh my God. What do you think? Do you have any biopics that you'd really like to see?
I'd have to really think about like interesting, well-known musicians. I suppose you could do one about Christopher Lee.
That'd be interesting for sure.
He led a very interesting and complex life, and there's the music connection to it, so why not?
I suppose we did get like a knockoff Judas Priest one about the least interesting part of Judas Priest.
Right. All right, the way Slipknot's going, you might be able to get a good movie out of it.
That would be interesting, I think.
The men behind the masks.
Not metal, but one that I think that would be incredibly compelling and was supposedly in development hell for a number of years. The Gin Blossoms. You know, I'm a big Gin Blossoms fan, Jordan.
You're a big Gin Blossoms head.
So, like the story, behind them was, they were coming up in bars in Arizona and not really having any success. Their guitar player was a horrible drunk, but he wrote a number of incredibly great songs for them that became massive hits. But right before the label started pushing their album to radio stations, they said, you got to get rid of this guy. So they gave him like a few $1,000 in severance pay, kicked him out, and then he killed himself shortly thereafterwards. And so the band is, in a way haunted by, this successful this talented ghost as they began, this big meteoric rise. And I know that Ethan Hawke was supposedly writing and wanted to direct that story for years, but I don't think it's ever going to happen. Probably nobody gives a shit now about that kind of thing. But I would like to see that. It seems like a compelling story.
That's something the Oscars could get behind.
Yeah. And, or at the very least, I want to watch it.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten the Sublime Bradley Knoll
Oh,
story.
fuck. You just spoke it into existence. God damn it, Jordan.
Well, the only reason I'm thinking about it is because I have some terrible news.
Oh, no.
There are going to be two Sublimes touring this summer.
Oh, God. Oh, God. All right. How are there going to be two of them? Which one has Rome?
Well, there's the Rome or Sublime with Rome, and then there's this other Sublime, which is the two original members and Brad Knoll's kid, and that's who's playing that No Values Punk Fest we talked
Oh,
about a few weeks ago.
God.
But Rome with Sublime, or Sublime with Rome, is contractually obligated to play other shows this summer, so he's playing those shows with some other people just to like finish it out.
Wow. Okay. They should call it Sublime with Rome and Sublime without Rome.
They should call it LA Sublime and Sublime Guns.
Sublime AD. I hope that Badfish is also playing in there somewhere.
They never stop playing.
They
They're a
never.
local band here, and it's just like, God, how? How is a cover band of a band that stopped almost 40 years ago still going and people are still seeing them?
I don't know, man. Absolutely ridiculous
And the
stuff.
answer is people smoke weed.
We really ought to ban weed again for this very reason. Yeah, well, that sounds delightful. I have lots and lots of opportunities to hear date rape or the one about the 14-year-old prostitute. Can't wait for those shows. That'll be a lot of fun. Couple of other things here. I don't know if you saw, but in a very rare byline piece on Blabbermouth, this is by David E. Gelke. And you know that it is so rare on Blabbermouth for any author to get attribution here. So this is a piece that David Gelke felt strongly about and Blabbermouth felt strongly enough about to publish here. Headline, are you ready for this? Tim Lambesis talks rebuilding his life after surviving, quote, the most dehumanizing of life experiences.
No, for him.
We never really think about how he has suffered.
What about me? What about Tim Lambesis?
And I just think that Lambesis is kind of having to do this with Blabbermouth because nobody else wanted to fucking pick this one up.
So it was a very friendly, safe interview for him.
Yeah, of course, man. Do you want to go through it?
I mean, no, but yes.
All right. As a lay dying slash Austrian death machine frontman, because that dumb shit is coming back, Tim Lambesis reemerged in 2017 after over 2 years in prison for solicitation of murder to commit murder and two counts of conspiracy to commit a crime. Many, even Lambesis, assumed that that would be the end of his career in music. But As I Lay Dying's fan base remained largely intact, leading to the release of 2019's Shaped by Fire. Lambesis appears prepared to make the most of his second chance while not avoiding discussion about his time behind bars, which is perhaps the right move for someone in a prominent position like this. It's written by fucking ChatBT. blah blah blah. Not talking about Death Machine. Don't care about that. Don't care about that. Says, first question here. Bodybuilding. What does it mean to you? What do you get out of it? I would be hesitant to say bodybuilding because I think I'm far from the world of bodybuilding. When I was about to turn 30, I noticed a lot of my peers and other Southern California bands or bands in general from the metalcore scene. They were turning 30 or they had turned 30, and I felt like some of them were very visibly past their prime. When they got on stage, even if they sounded okay, it looked like it wasn't that exciting. Youthful visual that is inherently part of, I think, aggressive music. For me, that's what inner 13-year-old I'm always trying to appeal to. I'm sure you are, you fucking nonce. When I think of metal, I think of the first time I heard Pantera. There's a little bit of that testosterone you hear in the music when you're 13. You get
Doesn't he have a
excited.
little too much testosterone?
That's the problem. You get excited and you're like, wow, this is cool and exciting. I'm always trying to keep that alive. When I turned 30, I decided, okay, I didn't work out at all in my 20s. I was going to be in better shape in my 30s than I was in my 20s. That's the start of it. Then I took it to a very unhealthy place. I didn't realize some of the developments of things like body dysmorphia and an inaccurate view of oneself that people start to get when they're overly focused on an aesthetic. I got to a plateau and thought, oh man, I wish I were more than what I am. I don't view myself accurately. I thought I was a very small person, so I took it to unhealthy places. All these years later, I learned that there are a lot of difficult times over the last 10 years. If I don't get out of the house and do something physical, like going to the gym or going on a walk at the beach, since I live so close, my mind suffered. Now I have this routine where I make sure I do something somewhat physically active for 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes every day. It's great for my mind and body. So already you're off. We're off to a killer start here. I'm glad that he's gotten over his body dysmorphia, by the way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great.
This all goes back to COVID-19 when it became clear that people didn't do too well cooped up in their houses all day. That's Blabbermouth saying that. I hope for a lot of people that care about their aesthetic. If you're spending more than an hour a day in the gym every single day trying to pursue something, it should either be your career like a bodybuilder, or you might want to take a step back and think, am I doing something inefficient or out of balance in my life? Being healthy and creating a certain aesthetic are two different things. I have nothing against people who want to create a certain aesthetic. I have friends who are bodybuilders. You have to think about what you're doing. As humans, we develop bad patterns and habits. I think I'm in a really great place in my life now that I balance fitness and mental health, but it wasn't always that way. What do you make of that?
Isn't he friends with the guy with the cartoonishly gigantic arms?
Yes, Craig.
And isn't Timlybesis like once again gigantic?
Yes, he is bigger now than he's ever been. He is clearly on the juice.
He's on the Dwayne The Rock Johnson diet of where he's bigger than he ever was as a football player or a professional wrestler.
You go back and you see footage of The Rock in the 90s wrestling with WWE, and you're like, that is half of the man that he was, but he is now. It is insane.
His arms are getting bigger and bigger every time he starts a new venture that's eventually going to fail, like that new football league.
Oh, yeah, man. I've already got tickets for the opener here in Arlington. here we go. Let's get to the juicy parts here. You've alluded to this throughout the conversation, but what got you through your time in jail? What did you learn? What got you through to the other side? I wish there were a definitive moment that I could refer to. There's a part of the nature of being incarcerated. There's a part of you that will break you down no matter how strong you are. Then there's a part within the human spirit that will figure out how to survive the most dehumanizing of life experiences. And then once you figure out how to survive that, there's a certain confidence that you have, like, man, if I made it through this, everything else in life is just gratitude and easy. It was the result of my own mistakes, and I totally understand why and how this happened. I'm entirely to blame. I went through some tough financial years and all of that kind of stuff, but it didn't stress me out. I was surrounded and living with guys who were released from incarceration with no family, friends, or resources. I was trying to help them figure out how they were going to survive in the aftermath, and if I was going to be released to a very supportive family. Even if I didn't have the opportunity to play music, which I didn't believe I would have at the time, I worked really hard to be diversely educated to where I would be able to work a lot of different jobs. I just felt this sense of peace that everything would be okay and focus on gratitude going forward. So, like, what I'm getting from that is dad owns like a business, right?
It all sounds very Christian without saying Jesus anywhere in it.
It does. What did you study while incarcerated? I originally got a degree in social and behavioral studies, which opened the door for me to learn more about the field of addiction treatment. Then I took more courses to become a certified addiction treatment counselor. There were a lot of classes that overlapped. You'll hear how this happens by accident by the title of these. I was one or two classes away from getting a degree in sociology because social and behavior sciences and addiction treatment and sociology, well, they're also similar. I thought I'd take a couple of extra classes and get my sociology degree. I was also interested in business because I wanted to figure out how could a person survive in a situation where they don't have another option in this world other than to be their own boss. I have to understand business to a certain degree. So I thought I'd figure that out with investing. If I were making a conservative income, I'd be okay. So I got my business degree. In the process of getting those degrees, sometimes the requisites for other degrees are similar. For example, I have a degree in American Studies, and I don't even know what that is, but I have a degree in it because in the process of getting my business degree and sociology degree, I got an American Studies degree. Then there were some new math classes I wanted to take. So I figured I was taking some math classes, there were some science classes. And then there was some social behavioral classes for addiction treatment. I had to take neuroscience classes for my addiction certification treatment. I was three classes from having a math and science degree as well. It sounds silly when I report back on the number of degrees I ended up getting. Still, it came from a place wanting to keep my mind healthy. And that no matter what life threw at me, I'd either be employable or capable of starting my own business from scratch if nobody would hire me. Now, I know that we talked a lot about like what the fuck is this guy gonna do when he gets out other than convince everybody else to be in the band with him, right? Sounds like he had the same thoughts.
Yeah, he seems to have degrees coming out the wazoo as a backup plan, but the As I Lay Dying guys were held hostage, as we've seen in that Getting Back Together video. They went out on one or two tours, and then they all like quickly and quietly left the band. Other people came in, and now he's doing his tired Terminator project in the year of our Lord 2024.
Really, really fucking sick of it, to be honest with you. But, as we discovered with the As I Lay Dying reunion, there are still a number of absolute Reddit-fied dorks that will eat that shit up.
And labels that will put it out.
Really unfortunate stuff. But I remember, I never forget.
You're the elephant of the metal world.
Absolutely.
It's not just on Blabbermouth. He did an interview with Jamie Josta a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Tim Lambesis's episode of the Josta Show, audio only, is up now on patreon.com/I'm not going to tell you because he's not giving me money. The video will go out on Gas Digital
Oh,
first, then
shit. He's on
YouTube.
Gas Digital? Seriously?
What is that?
Gas Digital is where all of the right-wing shitheads have their like network of in-house podcasts.
Oh,
Like
interesting.
fucking Anthony Kamiya and shit like that.
We all just learned something new. He did not shy away from the tough questions that others have not asked yet. And there were no stipulation or rules on what could couldn't be asked. Plus, he agreed to no editing the episode.
Well, congratulations. You have laundered the reputation of another irredeemable cocksucker.
And this episode probably has a lot of mouth sounds too, because it's not edited.
He's just eating a fucking hero sandwich on the mic.
You could hear a meatball falling out of the sandwich and landing on his chest.
that sounds great. We will definitely subscribe to the Jamie Josta podcast for that and more great content.
And, free spaghetti.
Yeah, that too. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about on the show, if that's okay with you. South by Southwest, are you familiar with it?
I am. I have never been. And from what I've heard from people that have been, it's a horrible experience.
So I lived in Austin for almost 20 years, it used to be that South by Southwest was a big ass industry event that you could not go to any of those industry events, but there were a ton of people that came to town to put on shows that were not affiliated at whatever fucking auto shop, parking lot, bar they could, book for the day. People gave you free beer. You got to see tons of like big ass bands with 50 people all smacked into a room, and it was a really, really good time. And then they decided to shut down all unaffiliated events and require one of those $3,000 badges to get into anything. That was shortly after the Doritos Lady Gaga year, if you recall that.
Did she come out dressed as a big Dorito?
She was performing inside of a giant Doritos vending machine.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Anyway, so all of that to say, for I don't know, like 20 something years, it was legitimately pretty fun event for what was a somewhat smaller town. Now Austin is completely jam-packed and fully financialized. There's no fun to be had anymore. So when I saw the news that Scowl and Gel were pulling out of South by Southwest, my first thought was, what the fuck are you doing playing South by Southwest?
Right.
You're hardcore bands. Do you have a lot of fans that can afford a $3,500 ticket to see you perform for 15 minutes? Is that a realistic thing? I don't know. I'm not familiar, intimately familiar with the Scowl fan base. Were these one of the guys that were performing at a like in a homeless encampment?
Oh, I don't think
Was that
so.
Tsunami? I might have it backwards there. Anyway, it just seems that that was kind of a mismatch. Don't get me wrong, I've seen a ton of great hardcore and metal bands in Austin during South By, but never at one of these like official showcases or anything like that.
Whatever South by Southwest used to be. It used to be. It's not
Right.
what it is, and it hasn't been for a long time.
Right.
It's not like it made a quick switch over during COVID or something, and now it's not about the music, man. It's been a corporate marketing event for a decade at this
More than
point.
that, absolutely, definitely longer than that. But it's definitely tightened down in recent years, even more than that. So it's not uncommon to see, sponsors for this, fucking Raytheon, Palantir, any number of financial institutions that are currently involved in the worldwide drug trade, like Bank of America. So what Scowl said here, and they got a lot of good press for it, so bless them. Scowl is no longer performing at any of our previously scheduled official South by Southwest showcases. Multiple, by the way, Jordan. We came to this decision in protest of the U.S. Army's sponsorship of South by Southwest, as well as the involvement of RTX, formerly Raytheon, Collins Aerospace and BAE Systems, which all have direct ties to the manufacturing and supplying of weapons used against Palestinians. We refuse to be complicit in the face of genocide in Palestine. We're refusing to participate in the war machine. We will still be performing our scheduled unofficial showcases. So I see what they're saying here, that they do not want to participate in the official showcases because they're sponsored by the military industrial complex companies, because these people, these organizations all combine to immiserate and murder the people in Palestine. My question is, are you just now figuring that out? And why did you agree to this in the first place? I'm trying not to like immediately question their motives here, but what the fuck did you think this was? That's my question.
And South by Southwest is taking place, what, this week?
Yeah, starting this week.
So it's pretty down to the wire cancellation.
Down to the wire cancellation. I don't want to impugn anyone's motives. I hate the military. Hate America, to be honest with you. Do not care for the industrial military complex. Do not care for brazenly murdering a bunch of Palestinians. Don't like any of that stuff at all. But does this not smack of just relentless clout sharking?
It seems very specific, and geared towards getting a positive reaction from your crowd.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just don't like I don't like the idea of using just an unimaginable atrocity to get positive press for your band. I don't think that's a good thing to do. I think that's incredibly poor taste, as a matter of fact. But maybe I'm a little too prickly about this. I could be wrong about this. I'm willing to take feedback. But you agreed to play South by Southwest, which is sponsored by all the alphabet agencies, Peter Thiel, and everyone else that is interested in turning human misery into millions of dollars. Why did you do it in the first place? That's my question.
And just who does this help? I mean,
Yeah, great question, man.
you're not helping disenfranchised, hurt, starving people. You're not hurting any of these companies. You're just not playing a artist showcase at the biggest event, music event every year. So it's just kind of like, all right, well, the event's still going on. People are still coming. We're still making lots of money off it. And as the world turns, tomorrow the sun will rise for all of these companies again. So it's just kind of like, eh.
I just like to imagine a starving child that's like, did you hear? Scowl pulled out of their official South by Southwest showcase to protest what's happening here. So, pretty sure that that's going to fix everything.
But it's just like not even a protest.
It's
It's just
nothing.
we're not playing the show, and here's a statement we put out on like Friday night.
It's nothing, and it's designed, and that's what gets me. It's designed to just get you good press. It helps your brand and nobody else. And that's what I really kind of take umbrage at, that all of this feels so performative. It's nothing, it does nothing to help anyone except for you. So I realize that can be said a lot about a lot of different things. This one rubbed me the wrong way in particular. So I hope nobody gets mad at me for this, but just saying my piece here.
And not to leave out Jell also put out a similar statement.
Yeah, what'd they say?
We will be pulling out of all official South by Southwest shows next week. There's no reason for South by Southwest to involve the music for our peers and music at large with the U.S. Army and defense companies that are actively committing and slash or complicit in genocide, Free Palestine.
Okay. Again, this is not the first year, by even a long shot, that the US military was involved in sponsorship of South by Southwest. If I were a part of a band where, maybe it was my entire profession to perform with them, I would probably investigate the events that I was going to be performing at. But maybe they found out for the first time just this week.
But like, if they play these shows, would it really affect them?
No, absolutely not. Like, nothing changes, and you're still there playing the quote unquote unofficial showcases, which are associated with, like, well, I would say Vice before it got the plug pulled on it this week, but associated groups.
And just like, I don't know. I think I'd probably give more things a pass just because there's like nothing you could do about it. You're just, there's a general powerlessness that like I have accepted the older I get. But for an example, the big like arena in my town, it used to be the Dunkin' Donuts Center, and now it's the like Amica Pavilion, an insurance company.
Oh boy.
Like if I get to play there on stage for a concert, am I supporting the, health insurance complex or Big Pharma? No, I'm playing a concert at a place that just happens to buy the naming rights to this sort of thing. And I know it's not exactly the same thing because I'm sure there's going to be Raytheon tables and, US Army recruitment stuff there,
Sure.
but
Yeah.
like, I don't know. I just, it doesn't seem to do what they think they're going to do
Yeah, I agree with
when
that.
doing this. And it's just, I'm not saying like don't protest or don't do these things or speak out, whatever you want to do. It just kind of seems like at this point, what are you actually doing?
I think that that's the thing. I understand people feeling helpless and wanting to kind of lash out to do anything that can help. But this is self-serving. It does nothing else.
You know what? Instead of play, if you want to get off these shows, why don't you both do a show together and donate monies to Doctors Without Borders?
That seems like a great idea and something that's tangibly useful as opposed to this.
That is an actionable thing that you can do.
Right.
And maybe they will. Maybe in a week or two, that's what they'll decide to do, or they'll put out a compilation on Bandcamp, like some other bands did, and I have no idea where the money went for that. But
Yeah.
there are
If you
things that you can do. There are actionable things, and not playing a corporate show. I mean, I guess it's good for you. It's look at me, look how good I am. Here's a pat on the back, but
Yeah. I
I don't know.
mean, I like the idea of taking creating a benefit, giving the money to Doctors Without Borders, and finding a way to not pay taxes.
Yeah,
Because
you need to team up with Carhartt and Metallica
yeah.
and donate money to Doctors Without
Because
Borders.
like, I think about that a lot, like my tax dollar is going to, drop bombs on people, and I hate that. So the solution here is find a way to not pay taxes and instead give that money to Doctors Without Borders. I think that that's a win-win for everybody there. Not making, a hollow statement that says, "Look at me, I am virtuous because I am not doing this thing." Instead, making an active move to again commit tax fraud and help somebody else with it.
And maybe they will. Who knows?
But I think that's about all I've got on this one. Do you have anything else that you would like to share?
Just a follow-up on some of the stories we spoke about 2 weeks ago with album art having AI.
Oh, interesting. What do you got here?
Hour of Penance have spoken up in defense of using AI art.
Interesting. I'm sure that they have something incredibly intelligent to share here.
Paolo Pieri, who that's the guy we interviewed, right?
I think so.
Just as we have accepted that the Earth is not the center of the universe, we must accept that we are not needed as humans. We have to accept that maybe one day AI will do a better job of writing music or poetry or creating art without feeling emotions.
Ah, that is a thing that you could say.
That is a thing you could say, and he did. We use Midjourney with an unlimited subscription plan to learn how to use it properly. We spent a lot of time experimenting to see what it could do, what was possible and what wasn't, what suited our taste. Then we experimented to find the perfect prompt for the main concept of the album. It was important to use that, oh, it was important to us that the prompt fit the lyrics and their themes. After refining the prompt with a few parameters, we got a result that looked exactly as we imagined. We then used the variation function to generate similar images until we were happy with the final result. There wasn't much work needed after that. Color correction, tone, some cropping, but that was it. Definitely took us more time than emailing someone to do the work and get paid by the label.
Not beating the lazy motherfuckers' allegations.
I think some artists are very self-centered egomaniacs and need
Well,
to understand that just because they've spent some time learning to paint doesn't mean they're the center of the world. Just like I don't consider myself irreplaceable because I play the guitar and can write music or lyrics. It's true that generative AI uses open databases, but let's get the facts straight. Midjourney is closed source AI, meaning that no one outside the company knows how the LLM works, nor how it uses the databases, its algorithm or neural network. We don't know anything from a technical point of view. So when I read from some arrogant sheeple
oh, fuck.
that AI is stealing from artists because he read that on a site from another uninformed sheeple, it's
Jesus.
just sad. Just think of how huge the database of non-copyrighted content is. Anything from prehistoric art to Monet could be there. We're talking billions of images and real art here. And you think the heart of Midjourney's generative capabilities is stealing from some artist on Facebook who made a few pictures from a metal band that sells a few thousand units? Don't you see how ridiculous, arrogant, and self-centered this is? And
Yes,
finally,
it definitely
yeah.
sounds arrogant and self-centered. I cannot lie there, pal.
And finally, do you know how we can fix this so we're all on the same page? They should get 0.001 cent every time Midjourney uses their content if it's used at all, like we get from Spotify, so they can also afford half a pizza at the end of the year.
I see.
What a dick.
Fucking loser shit. I love that some people are like just crabs in a bucket. Like, well, my shit sucks, so your shit should suck too.
It's of all the ways to go about trying to defend yourself, that seems like one of the worst ways.
Absolutely. I am struggling to think of a worse answer than what he provided here. It's like one of my favorite Akewood things. Like, damn, that answer could use some work.
It could. It definitely could. This is when you need to use a PR person.
Yeah, and fuck. This guy should not be allowed to speak to anyone ever again. Like his family, his friends.
Just put on some sort of like mask over him and like weld him shut.
Yep, I think that'd be the way to go about it.
Just like a chastity belt for his tongue.
So I think that's it. That's probably the last time we ever cover anything with Hour of Penance. Thank you for playing. Good luck in your future endeavors, but I will not know or report about them. Thank you.
And I think they're on Agonia Records right now.
That checks out.
So there you go.
The only people that would take a chance on a pedophile just down on his luck.
But on the flip side of responding to people complaining about AI Almart, Pestilence put out a statement on Instagram and revealed that they're no longer using that AI art.
Hey,
See,
what it?
bullying old Europeans worked.
It I guess it does. That surprised the hell out of me.
Finally, the cover artwork for the upcoming Best of Album, Levels of Perception, has been changed. A statement from Patrick Mameli regarding the AI cover can be read below. First off, let me be absolutely clear about the fact that both band and record company still love the cover. Also, the artist that created this art did not let the computer generate this picture. He used multiple methods to come to this result. So it's not just AI in the real sense. But the point I'm getting at is this: I will not risk all the work we have put into this release just to push the cover. We care a lot about our fans, and we do not want this product not to be a success just because we want to push our ideas regarding AI. We have always stood at the forefront of game-changing events with the DM scene, whether it's music or in this case, a cover. Maybe the timing is not right just now, so we chose the middle way. This should make people more open to this monster release we have planned for y'all. Peace, Patrick.
Well, he sounds like he's not quite thrilled about this, but he begrudgingly accepted that people were unwilling to get behind his AI bullshit. So, could be worse. Could be a lot. We could be the fucking Hour of Penance guy.
And it's like just a best of album. Why do you even need to use that sort of thing? What they did is they have the logo, they have the name of the album, and then they just have a bunch of pictures of the band on it. And like, that's
Yeah.
fine. It's a best of album.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. Well, this has been fascinating. I'm looking forward to seeing how people double and triple down on their poor decisions regarding AI artwork in the future. I think that that'll be a fun exercise for all of us going forward.
Yeah, it'll only end up being more content for us to talk about.
And we love that. We love content. But as for content, I gotta say, that's it for today. However, if you desire more Toilet of Hell content, you can check out patreon.com/toiletofhell to get hundreds of hours of bonus shows and very special playlists that I spend way, way, way too long every month making and that like three people listen to. They just want the bonus shows.
Can you blame them? That's our best stuff.
I know, I agree. We're gonna try to wrap up Fantasy Label Ball for Napalm this
Nuclear
month.
blast.
Nuclear Blasts, the in record labels, yeah. Nuclear Blasts this month. Anything else we ought to let the people know?
Our 500th episode is coming up. We have some fun things planned for that we'll be telling you about soon. You can email us, toiletofhell@gmail.com, toiletofhellradio@gmail.com. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky. Get in touch with us if you want us to cover any stories, you have anything to say about the shows. The best way you can help this show is to share episodes to tell people about it and just let them know we exist. The more people listen, the better show it is.
Yeah, that's it. Well, hey, we'll see you next time.
Bye.
You are listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.